thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
I want to read a whole book of the Bible today. I haven't time to prepare a sermon, only joking. But I am going to read a whole book, or letter rather. But you don't worry, it's only got 14 verses. 3 John. Maybe I should just say a wee bit of context. John, obviously the Apostle John, he was an elder, a bishop, overseer, probably of quite a large group of churches, and they would have been led by individual leaders. In this particular church, there was a problem with a very strong character within the church, but it appears that Gaius, whom the letter's written to, was the leader. So that's just the context. The elder, that's John. To my dear friend Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well, or even as your soul prospers. It gave me great joy to have some brothers come and tell about your faithfulness to the truth and how you continue to walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Dear friend, you are faithful in what you are doing for the brothers, even though they are strangers to you. They have told the church about your love. You will do well to send them on their way in a manner worthy of God. It was for the sake of the name that they went out, receiving no help from the pagans. We ought therefore to show hospitality to such men, so that we may work together for the truth. I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to be first, will have nothing to do with us. So if I come, I will call attention to what he is doing, gossiping maliciously about us. Not satisfied with that, he refuses to welcome the brothers. He also stops those who want to do so and puts them out of the church. Dear friend, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. Anyone who does what is good is from God. Anyone who does what is evil has not seen God. Demetrius is well spoken of by everyone, and even by the truth itself. We also speak well of him, and you know that our testimony is true. I have much to write to you, but I do not want to use pen and ink. I hope to see you soon and we will talk face to face. Peace to you. The friends here send their greetings. Greet the friends there by name. A very, very interesting letter. Traditional greetings vary from country to country at any time of the year. Round here, most people here that I think just say, and how are you? How's it going? How's the form? Belfast, how's bout year something? What's the crack? That, for me, that is Timmy McGurk summed up. What's the crack? Hup ye boy ye. I don't think Ballymoney people put the hup in. I think that's more Donegal, but ye boy ye, I have heard that round here. But New Year time, the greetings, they vary as well. This part of the world, very boring. We just tend to stick to a very happy New Year to you, and maybe we add a Christian thing. I have to admit, I love the Scottish ones. I like this one. See if you can translate it. May the moose snare lee your gurnal with a teardrop in its ee. Do you know what that is? May the mouse never leave your grain store with a teardrop in its eye. And this was my mother-in-law's favourite. Lang me your lum reek. But she would put in with other people's coal. As Christians, we generally or sometimes add a Christian bit into that blessing for the new year. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. Do you remember the days when people used to write letters? You remember that? Does anybody still write letters rather than, oh, there's somebody who writes letters, rather than texting, emailing, Skyping, FaceTiming? But there was a certain formality. Even if you were writing to somebody that you knew, you sort of used this kind of a greeting. Dear whoever it is, I hope you are keeping well. Is that how most people start a letter? At the time when the Apostle John was writing these letters, probably about 90 AD, there was a standard form of introduction, not only used of Christians, used by everybody in the Greco-Roman world. John used it, but he put a distinctively Christian stamp on it. The usual introduction to a letter, and you see it right here, was this. Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you. Just a kind of standard greeting, keep in good health, and I would just love it if your circumstances in life are great. But John adds this distinctively Christian greeting into Gaius when he's writing this letter, and it has captured my attention in the last couple of weeks. He says, well, on here is a different version. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things, or that all may go well with you, that you may be in health just as your soul prospers. Or even, as the NIV says, even as your soul is getting along well. Now, I had no idea until this past week that this is one of the most abused and misused Bible verses. The proponents of the so-called prosperity gospel lift this one verse, a verse of greeting, completely out of context, and use it as a proof text that all Christians ought to be healthy and wealthy. Now, that is paying no regard to the context here of this letter. John is writing here to a church that has got into a bit of trouble with an ungodly, forceful and egotistical character within the church who's pushing his own agenda. And so John has been forced to write this letter until he can bring a visit and some correction. But that aside, the prospering soul, that's the message I want to bring to you on this last day of the year as we look forward into 2018. How easily we all focus on our health and on our physical circumstances more than on our soul. Is that not correct? Maybe that's because, and as I well know from living with Graham at the minute, when you're sick or when things are not going well for you, if you run out of money, if you lose your job, or if something goes wrong in your family or your life, you just cannot ignore it. It's right there. It's in your face or it's in your body. Now, I would never in a million years downplay the importance of our health or the importance of the circumstances of our lives. But, and here's the big but, there is something more important than physical health, than circumstances in life, something that you can possess either with or without these, and that is a prospering soul. It's more important than physical health. It's more important than having any money, than having a job, than having a smooth life. The most important thing is that your soul prospers. John is asking God that Gaius's health and circumstances may mirror or may reflect the spiritual shape his soul's in. Gaius's soul is doing great. Spiritually, he's in great shape. And John says, may your health and your circumstances reflect what's going on in your soul, brother. I ask the question this morning, If your physical health were in the same condition as your spiritual health, how healthy would you be? Sorry, the last wee one, I just see it, a wee problem with my backgrounds this morning. So if your physical health were in the same condition as your spiritual health, how healthy would you be? We'd be calling the paramedics this morning. So this New Year's Eve, I'm bringing a few of the hallmarks of a prospering soul. And I pray that in 2018, I pray for myself that your soul may prosper above all things. Hallmarks of a prospering soul: truth. Knowing, growing, and walking in truth. Love in word and in deed. And then imitate what is good so that others can imitate you. Just firstly, knowing, growing, and walking in truth. No matter what it is that you're interested in, I know Paul's interested in swimming. I know some people are interested in the drums. I know some people are interested in farming. Some people are interested in DIY. Some people are interested in technology. No matter how interested you are in something, you can never know everything that there is to know about it. If you want to keep developing, you have to stay open. Open to learn. Simply that, open to learn, wanting to learn, seeking to learn. It is not possible for any one person to know everything there is to know about God or about the Bible, no matter how long they've been on the road. We want knowledge. We want the truth, not for its own sake, but so that we would know our Lord better. The most important thing is that we're open and say, Lord, I want to learn more. I want to grow in the truth about you. If you look up the word truth in a concordance, you will notice it's a chief concern of Jesus. I just had a quick look through the Gospels, and the many times that Jesus started speaking to people and he said, I tell you the truth. It was a primary concern. And when you turn to John's Gospel, the word truth is a key word for John. And even here, when we were reading 3 John, I hope you noticed how John emphasized the word truth. You think of John 1:14, talking about Jesus, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus said, whoever lives by the truth comes into the light. True worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And then Jesus said these wonderful words, you will know the truth. That's when you obey Jesus' teaching. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And then one of my favorite, I'm sure yours as well, I am the way, the truth, and the life. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide us into all truth. John 17:17, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. Key word. You probably know in the last number of years, the knowledge of the Bible has dropped significantly in the general population. Years ago, many people could have gone to church, Sunday school, even through Bible teaching in school. There was a reasonable standard of Bible knowledge in the general population. That has gone right down. Sadly, even among Christians, knowledge of the Bible has gone down. We live in a world where many people see the Bible as irrelevant and outdated. They want their own version of the truth. They do not, and they reject any claim to absolute truth. Many Christians sadly reject any claim to absolute truth. You challenge them about their life, about sin, about wrong attitude, and you will find that they pay lip service to the Bible, but they don't accept it as absolute truth. This book is a book of truth. Sanctify us with the truth. Your word is truth. That's not wishy-washy. That's not my version, your version. That is the word of God is truth. Jesus said he was the truth. If you want your soul to prosper in 2018, you need an absolute commitment to knowing, growing, and walking in the truth of God's word. John commended Gaius in the short letter for his faithfulness to the truth. But you can only be faithful to something if you actually know it. Many, many Christians have been led into error in the history of the church because of a basic lack of knowledge of the word of God. They are easily wowed by some charismatic leader or preacher who sounds so plausible, so positive, so enthusiastically, but doctrinally is up the creek. They don't have a good grounding in the truth. In the shortest book of the New Testament, John 3, the main issue was a strong personality in the church who was hungry for power, and he was not scared to intimidate other people to serve his own agenda. But Gaius was a man of the truth, a man who knew the truth, and a man who was not going to be swayed by this guy Diotrephes, even though he was a big personality. John said he loves to be first. Gaius was not going to be intimidated by his threats. This guy Diotrephes, if you went against him, he put you out of the church. That was a big threat. And John was not, or rather, Gaius was not going to be sucked into these divisive behaviours. Because when Diotrephes didn't get his own way, verse 10 says, he began to gossip maliciously, spread rumours about John. Gaius's knowledge of the truth enabled him to have the courage to keep going, to do what was the right thing, even in the midst of opposition. So in 2018, I encourage you to take some practical steps to increase your knowledge of the truth. Here's just four short ones. Make a commitment to follow a structured Bible plan of reading in 2018. Friends, don't just get up in the morning and think, what'll I read, or turn into that, just opening the Bible. So don't do it. If you are serious about your soul prospering in 2018, follow a structured reading plan. That is not leaving the Holy Spirit out of the equation. That is being ordered and organized, and the Holy Spirit will speak to you much more frequently than if you're just randomly picking verses here and there. Go to any Bible bookshop, go online, lifeway.com, I recommend them. They have a few Bible reading plans there, one that I will follow myself in this next year. There's loads of through the Bible, chronological readings, kinds of reading plans. Doesn't matter what one you use, just get one and use it. Hold yourself accountable to another Christian to keep you on track. Because with the best will in the world, it's sometimes hard to keep going. You maybe have a busy week at work, or just things crop up, or you're sick for a couple of days, you fall behind, get a bit discouraged, think, oh, I sort of lost my way. I always lose my way on my holidays in my Bible reading. That is my confession, and I have to get myself motivated when I come back, get back into that, get back on track. Hold yourself accountable to somebody who's going to say, where are you with that? Are you keeping up to date? Who will encourage you if you get a bit behind? And so important, don't just read through it. Pray through it. Don't just read it for the sake of getting six chapters done. Pray as you read. Lord, speak to me. Speak into my life. Change me, Lord. And finally, put that knowledge into practice day by day. You will be amazed if you're reading through the Bible, how situations crop up and you think, that just fits exactly with what I was reading today. Amazing. Then secondly, love in word and deed. We talked there, point one, about the truth. Knowledge of the truth. But knowledge, even knowledge of the truth, divorced from love, is a very dangerous thing. Why? Because knowledge on its own has a tendency to make us proud. And who of us is exempt from pride? Nobody. Absolutely nobody. Knowledge divorced from love can also cause us to use the word of God as a weapon to bash people with. Maybe somebody sins, you bash them over the head with a Bible verse or a literal Bible. Instead of using it as a source of correction, healing, restoration. But knowledge married together with love, what a powerful combination. If you think about another believer who falls into sin, if you have lots of knowledge but no love, your first reaction will be to criticize and judge that person without a doubt, bash them over the head with a Bible verse. But here's Paul's advice in Galatians. Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual, and you can't be spiritual if you don't know the Bible, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. How do you restore somebody gently? First, you need a heart of love. You need to recognize your own weakness. And you need to desire to bring the word of God to bear in that situation. A careful use of scripture to restore somebody, to bring somebody back into the way, to allow somebody to experience the forgiveness of God. Oh, that we had this attitude to each other. You know, this is true Christian community. Not judging people, not isolating people, but restoring people, truly speaking the truth in love. In the classic chapter on love in 1 Corinthians 13, Paul makes just that amazing point. He said, you can have all the gifts, all these amazing gifts and qualities, but if there's no love, put plain and simply and absolutely bluntly, you're nothing. He says here, if I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but have not love, I am nothing. Sometimes we all probably beat ourselves up a bit that we don't know more, that we can't do more, that we don't have enough faith. Can I just say today, love is within the reach of every one of us. To truly love others. Never let that be said of us. I am nothing because we have no love. That word came from a man who was so gifted. A man who had incredible in-depth knowledge of God's word, such insight into God's word. He had such revelations in the spirit. And yet he knew knowledge puffs up, but love builds up, or love edifies. Not that you separate the two, you need them both. But for knowledge to be really effective, it needs to be married to love. In this letter that John writes here in 3 John, there was a crisis in the church. It was customary for missionaries or teachers sent from John the Apostle, passing out into areas around, to go to local churches, and the people in the local churches would put them up in their homes. They would feed them and care for them, and they would give them money. The church would give them money to go on their way or to go back to John. Now, unfortunately, this fellow, for whatever reason, Diotrephes, who John said loved to be first, he didn't want to entertain visitors. He wasn't hospitable. He didn't want people staying in his house. He didn't want the church to be given any money to visit and preachers and speakers. He wanted to be his own man. He was a strong personality. He had an influential voice in the church, and his was my way or the highway. And so if you said, well, I'll entertain the visitor, he would have said, you entertain the visitor and you're out of the church, mate. That's my way or the highway kind of leadership. Now, the Apostle John wrote to the church about this, but Diotrephes was raging about it. He rejected the rightful authority of the Apostle John and just said, no, it's not going to be happening. And then he started spreading rumours about John. C.H. Spurgeon says, a lie travels round the world before the truth has time to get its shoes on. Absolutely true. He set people against John's leadership. Now, sadly, we all know how easy it is for gossip even to spread in a church. Very easy. It's easy in any church for ego-seeking. But thankfully, and this is what I pray all of our aim will be, aim above all to truly love in word and in deed. Steer clear of anything and anyone who brings division through gossip, power-grabbing, or rightful rejection of rightful authority. The church, this church, every church, is a living organism made up of living stones. We are those living stones. And we've all got our different giftings, personalities, our quirks, our peculiarities. That's what makes church so interesting and so susceptible to squabbles. What kind of church would my church be if all its members were just like me? If they were just like me, it'd be a disaster. I know that up front. God has brought us together with all our differences and our personalities and our strengths and our weaknesses. He has brought us together to demonstrate his amazing grace in building an effective body out of a diverse group of people. But if we are going to be an effective, fully functioning body, above all things, we need love for the truth and we need love for each other. We need to take seriously Jesus' commands about forgiving each other, about bearing each other's burdens, and about encouraging each other in the Lord. This is love in action. And I pray that in 2018, this is what you will do. You will refuse to participate in any gossip, even listen to it, or slander against any part of this local body that we're part of. None of us are perfect. Is that not true? Okay. Is it just me? None of us are perfect. We're a work in progress. If you lived with me for a week, you'd find something to gossip about or to criticize or to judge. I would say maybe an hour would do. 5 minutes would maybe do it. That's the truth. And it's the truth about you folks. Live with any of us, work with any of us, and you'll quickly discover we're not perfect. We need to make a conscious choice. I refuse to participate in any gossip about you, any slander about you. I refuse to even listen to it. I forgive you, as you'll need and do need to forgive me. I want to bear your burdens in this coming year, as I, at the moment in my life, am in great need of others to help to bear our burdens as a family. And I pray that 2018, may we encourage each other in the Lord. And finally, and a very brief point, imitate what is good, and then others can imitate you. Oh dear, some of us are not very comfortable with the idea of anybody imitating us. Well, some of us are not comfortable with anybody imitating you. But it's a biblical idea. Paul says, I urge you then, be imitators of me. Yeah, you're going to say he was the Apostle Paul. He says, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. But here is the challenge in this here. If someone imitated my life, would I be happy with what I saw reflected there? Yep. I thought that wouldn't be appropriate for a lot of you, even seeing how you got out of this car park. John encouraged Gaius. He said, Gaius, imitate what is good, because what is good is of God. And that is why Paul could say to believers, believers, imitate me, because I'm imitating Christ. Take a look around you, not just here in our church, but in the church worldwide. There are so many people who are living the life of faith, who are living a life of dedication to the truth, who are absolutely nailing, loving other believers. Can I encourage you? Imitate them, not in style, but in substance. I remember, not in style, it's because Reinhard Bonnke, I think it maybe mentioned last week, a German evangelist, mainly in Africa, powerfully successful, amazing faith, millions of people have been converted under his ministry. But you know, many young preachers would go to work under Reinhard Bonnke, and they would be like clones. I mean, English people were speaking with German accents, so that's what I mean. Don't imitate the style, imitate the substance. What a challenge. Make your life the kind of life that a young Christian could look at you and think, I want to be like that. Wow. That's what Paul's basically saying. The kind of life you look at, the right throughout the scriptures, say, I want to be like that. Oh, that we could be that for other people, that others could look at us and imitate us. So in 2018, I pray and I encourage you to be someone that others could imitate. May your life shine so attractively for Christ in this year that others will want to be like you. And so here's what I pray. I do pray that you'll be healthy in body in 2018. I do pray that. It's a great blessing. I do pray that your life circumstances will be good in 2018, because that is also a great blessing. But above all, absolutely, above all, I pray in 2018 that your soul will prosper, that it will go well with your soul, that your soul will be getting along well. That is my prayer. I will do everything I can to help you in that journey, but it has to start with you. It has to start. We all have to take responsibility for the prospering of our own soul. May God give us the grace and the desire that above all things that we aspire to in the coming year, that this will be the key one. Oh Lord, may my soul prosper, even as my body and the rest of stuff's getting on. Let's pray. Father, I know that there most likely is not a person sitting in this room who in their heart wouldn't be able to and wouldn't want to say, I do want my soul to prosper in 2018. I do want that. But we're easily discouraged, Lord, and you know it. We're easily knocked off the track, and you know it. We're easily overwhelmed by other things, by health, by work, by stress, by worries. We are so easily knocked off from our deepest desires. And I lift up my voice today and I pray, Lord, for all my brothers and sisters here and those who are absent this day, I pray for each one of us that our commitment right now, Lord, to you would be 100% that our souls will prosper in this next year, come what may. That each one of us, Lord, would have the gumption to take the necessary practical steps to make that happen. And that then your Holy Spirit may come and just infuse those practicalities with his wonderful life. Oh God, touch us. Touch us in this next year that we would be a growing, vibrant church for the glory of your name. Amen. And your
love is great. Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.